welcome to the Sports Vagabonds, everybody. It's your man, MP, Jeremy Long. Can't believe we're at the end of another season of sports and another new year, but the football season, it's come and gone, Jeremy.
Yeah, it came and gone real quick, like it seems every single year. Now I'm sad. We have playoffs coming up, but in a couple weeks, I'll be sad again.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me that it's July. We're excited about the preseason coming up. We really go, we're not going to watch a bunch of this. It's preseason. The season starts and we go 17 weeks. Man, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And all I did this season is do what I always do and just watch TV at my house. I think I have no friends.
You know, it's the best intentions, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. And then Sunday comes along, then, you know what, I'm in my slippers, I'm in my robe, and you know what, it's, you know, the games start early here, we're on the West Coast, so it's, what, 10 in the morning or so when the games start, so I'm tired, baby. I work hard. I do this show, I do some other stuff, and there we go, man. I get tired.
We get tired, but that's all right, man. We got a lot to talk about. It's Black Monday out there. You know how that can end up, people getting chopped off the block in the NFL. And, heck, even this week we even have college coaches that have been gotten rid of in multiple sports.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody is safe. No one's safe. You heard it. Yeah, no one's safe. G-Eazy told that you're not safe, you're not safe. But we're going to be safe by going to some barbershop shop.
Barber Shop Shop.
Black Monday, and I don't think we ever thought this was going to happen because we knew that he had something on everybody. He knew where the bodies were. Marvin Lewis of the Bengals was finally let go after 16 years. What?
Yeah, that's to say it's overdue is an understatement, you
right.
know. 16 seasons, zero playoff wins, and the last three seasons, all losing seasons. The first time in his career with the Bengals that he had three back-to-back, you know, losing seasons, stuff like that. The last two were especially painful because they started off strong. Andy Dalton seemed to turn a corner the first four or five games of the season. They looked like they could compete. The offense looked good. And then all of a sudden, it just falls apart. And by the end, it's painful. It's painful because, you know what, Marvin Lewis is a good dude. I like Marvin Lewis. I like Andy Dalton as people. You know, I think some can-do attitudes and stuff like that. But you know what? I'm going to steal a line from Glenn Ross. Coffee is for closers, man. You got to win in the NFL, baby. You know, as nice as you are, no one cares about that, man. Tony Dungy is one of the nicest people in the entire world. After he stopped winning Super Bowls, no one gave a crap anymore. Man, you got to win football games. You got to win playoff games. And you got to win, at least come close to a Super Bowl for people to keep you around, man. So for you know, Lewis, I think he got his shot, man. I think he got his shot, and it's you know, overdue. They needed a regime change.
Yeah, no. They need to definitely get a different voice. 16 seasons, the way Al Davis saw it, 10 years is usually the expiration date on all these guys. He overextended that like yogurt. You know, he was just out there. He did his thing. The Red Rifle, you know, Andy Dalton didn't get him over the hump. He never became that quarterback that we thought he was going to be.
Right.
You know, coming out, I think it was it Oregon State or Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State.
And he just never became that guy. And you know what? Hats off to Marvin. He retained that job so, you know, for so long. It looks as if they're talking about pushing him upstairs over there at Cincinnati, which, hey, maybe he was good, you know, a good leader as far as selections. I don't know that. I don't see that on the boards, you know, because picking the best players usually results in you getting some wins.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know if he was able to do that, Jay.
But like with Jeff Fisher, man, you know what you're going to get with them. Sometimes you need a stable hand in the locker room. A lot of teams, that's what they need to get over that hump and actually compete for a Super Bowl title, which is the goal year in and year out for every single team. Compete for the title, at least be competitive for that title. Jeff Fisher, you knew what you were going to get with him. 7-9, 8-8 or whatever. Marvin Lewis, by this time, you know as a head coach what you're going to get from him. And, you know, they're going to – I know the owners are looking at like, hey, we probably got a few years left with Andy Dalton. We paid him a lot of money. We still think maybe we can get to that level, so let's try to make the change now. Let's do it. Marvin, again, good guy, but he had to go.
Get out there. You know, and A.J. Green's coming back, so they definitely have a good offensive look. And, you know, maybe they'll get a coach that's a little bit more defensive-minded. That division, the Browns are going to be a little bit better next year. The Steelers are going to be a lot better next year. So I think it's time, like you said, to get a new voice. Adam Gase. And first of all, I didn't know much about Adam Gase when I heard the name Adam Gase. I thought that was the show. I was watching Adam Ruins Everything. And in this case, he definitely ruined the Dolphins. He's let go. 23-25, coordinator for Chicago Bears for a little while. I don't know. A coordinator. Some people are just meant to be coordinators. There's a couple of guys I'm going to probably bring this up with. I think Gase is one of those guys I think is probably better suited as a coordinator than a head coach. I mean, we just talked about this. Being a head coach in any sports is incredible and it's hard. It's pressure all the time. And some people are just better suited to stick to their lane as far as, you know, being able to take care of this end of the team and taking it to the next level. And I think he was just over his skis.
Yeah, you know, every couple of years in the NFL, there's a youth movement, right? I mean, Adam Gase was, at the time, the youngest head coach in the NFL, whenever he got hired. He was, you know, one of the younger ones. He was, 36, 37, whenever he took over. For the Dolphins, got a young quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, got a young team. In his first season, he did great, 10-6. They bow out of the playoffs early and everything, but it looked very promising the last 2 years. And of course, you see that with this list that's coming out today of all these coaches fired. A lot of promise, very under-delivered and everything. So, you know, it is very tough for head coaches to be the head coach. You take all that blame, despite the fact that your players suck. You know, the Dolphins, a lot of times, front office moves, you get Dakumunsu, you know, you get these guys, and they don't have the years, they don't have the same careers that they did with, like, the Lions, with Sue, and things like that. It falls, unfortunately, to Adam Gase, and you know what? Needed, I mean, he didn't seem to inspire much confidence. Ryan Tannehill has done anything. He's regressed. He's gotten worse as a quarterback. It's just time. I think it's time to blow up that whole offense. I think you cut Tannehill, trade him, whatever. Look for a quarterback of the future. Do, you know, one more year with Ryan back there under center. Start over and, you know, try once again to find that quarterback. They haven't had that quarterback since Dan Marino.
You know, the one thing I see that's getting ready to happen in this whole conversation is that we're going to have a trend about some of the reason the coaches were fired, and that trend's going to be quarterback issues.
Right.
And this next guy, if he didn't have quarterback issues while he was there, he probably didn't have anything else to talk about. And that's the Broncos, Vance Johnson, 2 seasons, 32 games, 4 road wins. Doesn't look good from an overall standpoint. But let's just look at the various coaches that he has gone – quarterbacks that he's had since he's been there. And it doesn't play out well for him. I mean, he's had 4 different quarterbacks who they've tried to put into that situation. And you can't get any consistency when you don't know who your quarterback is. It's one thing to have a Hall of Fame quarterback and or a manageable quarterback who's behind you. But right now, the guy they got from Minnesota, God dang it.
Case Keenum.
Yeah. Seriously? That's what we're saying. They're supposed to help them, put them over the hump. Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Now, yes, he had the miracle over in Minnesota. You know, that was a miracle, lightning in the bottle at that time.
That was bad tackling.
Thank you. Yeah. That had all to do that, and that's where it came from. So, I mean, you asked me earlier who I thought probably got the raw end of the deal, who I thought – and I think it's Van Joseph, just because everything we just said right there.
Yeah, you know, he inherits a bad situation. You know what? At some point in the next season or two – Mr. Hall of Famer himself, John Elway, he's going to start having to answer for some of this crap because Paxton Lynch was not Vance Joseph's fault. He was not his draft pick. He inherited that train wreck. I call him Chris Cornell, and then Chris Cornell died, unfortunately, so I got to rest in peace for that one, man. But Paxton Lynch, even when he was drafted, was kind of a head scratcher. Really? Paxton Lynch, really? This guy, you know, every year someone claims to have found a quarterback out of nowhere, blah, blah, blah. But really, Paxton Lynch never should have been a first-round quarterback. That's too much pressure, and it's too much on one single guy, especially a guy not physically equipped to be an NFL quarterback. You know, then Vance Joseph has all this turnover with his offense. It's just – it's chaos right now with the Broncos, okay? They still have the makings of what could be another dominant defense. They still have Von Miller and stuff like that. But it's going to take more than Von Miller. You got to surround Von Miller.
They got
Miller
Chubb
with some
over there.
Talent,
I mean,
man.
They got a good team.
You know,
they got the
pieces, but you start subtracting Aqib Talib and these guys that made that defense fearsome, just like with the Legion of Boom. Well, you're going to be left with a shell of what was. And that's what it is. And John Elway is playing off of his Hall of Fame credentials. Okay, that's what he's doing.
He's laying the blame.
And this might go for another place, another office building we know. They lay the blame somewhere else because it can't possibly be that John Elway
not management
is horrible at his job.
Not management.
Because they think about the, you know, he extracted Peyton Manning, 800-year-old Peyton Manning, and managed to turn around one season in which Peyton looked like a world beater and threw 50-something touchdowns, and they still lost,
right?
You know, in the Super Bowl. But then they won a Super Bowl with a dominant defense. So all the credit went to John Elway. Now something's got to give, man. You got to start making some tough decisions. Is John Elway the guy that's going to lead the Broncos from the front office? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Whatever it is, they got to start making some changes. Or Broncos fans, like my neighbor who loves to wave his flag proudly that he is a Broncos fan, they're going to be in for many more seasons of suffering.
Now, see, that's one
like
of
us
the,
Cowboys.
Yeah,
fans.
Well, we've talked about in a couple shows back where it's too much of the blame goes to the coaches, and not enough of it is absorbed by the general managers, and that's right. In all sports. And I think you're right; they need to start looking at some of these general managers and making changes up there, because you're giving the coaches again the ingredients to try to make a cake, and you gave him some water and some flour with no eggs. Come on, man, give these people some eggs.
Cake. That government cake.
Oh, God dang it. Now, this next one, yeah. Cardinals fire Steve Wilks. You know the one thing I have to say about that? He should have stayed at Jerry Springer. But yeah. Now, again, another guy who came out of nowhere, and I know that's what happens with coaches. Another guy. Well, I don't think he got enough time. He has a rookie quarterback. He should have given him another season to see what he could do with this rookie quarterback, allow him to have some of the selections as far as the draft is concerned, you know, being in the draft room, and allowing him to be a part of it one season. I mean, they must have solved something really horrible. And if we just look at the whole NFL as an entirety, there was a lot to be, you know, to not be happy about.
Right.
But I don't think all the blame in Arizona was on him.
No. And unfortunately, it has fallen on him. He's the one who loses his job after one season. I do think they're making a knee-jerk reaction, because what did you see a year ago that you're suddenly not seeing now, that you're like, oh, my gosh, this guy suddenly can't be an NFL
coach.
He's garbage or whatever. But I'm going to quote Macho Man Randy Savage in one of his most famous promos ever. This is Steve Wilkes' cup of coffee in the big time, right? He goes and he gets an NFL head coaching job like every coordinator and every young man out there, including my good friend Kevin Barbe, who's an assistant coach in the NCAAs. You know, everybody wants that head coaching, that big head coaching job. They think they're going to be that guy. But all of a sudden, boom, in a 3-13 season, that is totally, well, not 100% not your fault, but not 100% your fault. You know, you're shot, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're done. For the next few seasons, your name is poison wherever you go. You're going to be you're going to have to be an O coordinator, a defensive coordinator, if not a special teams coach, or that most dreaded of words, Hugh Jackson knows, the special assistant to the, you know, a special consultant to the team or something like that. All of a sudden, you got punks like Baker Mayfield making eyeballs at you on the field, stuff like that. Unfortunately, Steve Wilks gets it. That's the head coach, man. You get one season, you get 16 seasons like Marvin Lewis. It still all falls on you. You got to win, baby. Coffee is for closers. And if you won It doesn't matter who's under center. Brad Johnson, Tom Brady. It doesn't matter who's under center.
You went from you east to west.
you got to win, baby. Al Davis, you just got to win.
Well, I think one thing a lot of these coaches should have done is they should have given Marvin Lewis a phone call like, Coach, how do we make this thing last?
How do I convince these fools to give me a second, third, fourth, fifth season?
What pictures do I need to take in order to stay here?
Which mistress do I need to press on to get me in a contract extension situation?
It's Barbershop Shop brought to us by our great friends at Great American Pub. Now, I know we talked about this earlier, and I said that this is the one guy that I thought was a surprise to me. But when I thought about it for a while, Todd Bowles being let go by the Jets, not a big surprise. I mean, he just didn't get it done. Being a head coach in New York for anything is so much pressure.
Right.
And if you don't get – I think if you don't get any team turned around in 3 years, you almost should just resign yourself. I know it's not what you do, but if you don't get it done in three, there's usually, I mean, it's not going to happen for you. And this was the case with Todd Bowles. I can't think of the player who it was this morning speaking on the fact that they didn't have the dogs in order to keep the team. He didn't blame the coach. He was just saying the players didn't step up like they're supposed to. Those alpha males, they didn't go out there. They didn't motivate.
Right.
Because Bowles can only do so much. He's not out there putting on the cleats, putting on the pads every week. And
right.
At some point, he needs somebody out there to help him push his word. And I think that's basically what led to his dismissal with the Jets.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard thing. You know, you go into these organizations that have been mired and losing seasons year after year after year. I mean, you had the Browns are finally kind of starting to turn things around. The Jets have been down there for so long. Ted Bowles, I think he got the raw end of it, you know, but he got the typical three, right? I mean, you know, in the UFC, if you lose three straight fights, most of the time you're cut. You know, you know what I'm saying? So in the NFL, usually they give coaches three seasons to get it right. You know, you see Steve Wilkes got one or so. But, you know, Todd Bowles, he inherits Sam Darnold, or, you know, I mean, who could, you know, he might maybe eat my words a couple of seasons from now, but you're going to have a couple really bad seasons with this kid. He's got a lot of physical upside, but Sam Darnold is not. He didn't come out straight out the gate like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or one of these guys, you know, Patrick Mahomes or any of these rookie QBs that you're like, okay, there's something to build around. He's had great games where he's looked like the next coming of Mark Sanchez for him. But he's also looked like, oh, my God, you look like Mark Sanchez for him. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's kind of his fault, but it's not. Like you said, he needs his team to step up, and unfortunately they didn't do it. But that's not – we're making light of it now because it's Monday and he got fired today. A lot of those players are not going to be on the Jets. They're going to move some personnel around. But you're talking about dysfunction from the very top, from the owner, all the way down to the punter, the place kicker, the guys on special teams, all those guys. Things need to change because both New York teams, for the first time in a long time, both New York teams, the Jets and the Giants – are absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of dysfunction a little later on in the show with the Oakland Raiders. We're talking about dysfunction times times 12. So, but we go to the next one. Tampa Bay fires Dirk Cutter. And I'm just going to defend Dirk Cutter because, unfortunately, he's had his wagon hitched up to Jameis Winston for the last three seasons. Number one pick. Usually when you have a number one pick, the one thing you can depend on is that quarterback to have some sensibility to be a leader. And that's the one thing you haven't gotten from Jameis. Damn, Jameis, you've not given us anything. You got your coach fired. Are you happy about that? He's gone. And to be totally honest, I don't know what the situation or how long Jameis is going to be there either.
Yeah, absolutely. Dirk Cutter, number one, has the best porn name in the business. You know, he really could. You know, Dirk Diggler, Dirk Cutter, all right? But, you know, you get saddled with a guy in Jameis Winston who has all the physical tools. He, you know, can throw the ball 100 freaking yards. He's fast. He's a big, strong kid. He's just not a leader. He is not going to inspire other grown men around him because he is playing with other grown men around him on offense. He is not that guy. He is so immature. He's selfish. You've shown that from the time he was in high school all the way up to now. He is not going to be that guy. You give kids an opportunity to turn around and say, maybe this guy can be a leader. Maybe he can – bring it back around. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, was a punk when he first got in there. Baker Mayfield's a punk now. He may show that he's got some leadership skills about him. He's already showed that he's got some leadership skills around him because he's inspiring the guys around him. You know, whether – it's a lot of stuff that we don't see. Guys right. like you and I don't see. It's in practice. It's in the tape rooms. It's in the – you know, and how they deal with injuries and
it's
how they deal
to,
with the
coming
media.
To, coming to your first practice not looking like a dad with your dad body.
Yeah,
22.
Absolutely, man. And you just don't seem to have that in Jameis Winston, man. Like I said, he is an otherworld athlete. If he is right here, man, he would be – he is still a physical stud. Mentally and just, I don't know what you account that as, spiritually or just personally, he is not that leader, man. He is not going to make people better. He is not going to push himself to make himself better. And that's trouble for not only Dirk, but also whoever comes in after him, because that is probably a problem. You can't climb that mountain.
No, you can. You know, he's walking up the hill backwards, like I always like to say. Just, it's not an easy route. It's not an easy climb. But more importantly, he's not even focused looking up the hill. So, yeah, man, I don't know what the Bucks are going to do. They got Fitzmagic over there, and he seemed to be one of the guys that got him pushed through the way. Right. But we'll see. Man, those are all the coaches that were recently fired yesterday. But then we have to look at the coaches that were let go a little earlier in the season. One of those coaches who was sure to land somewhere, be it our friend Mike McCarthy, who was fired after week 13 from the Pack. His voice probably got toned out. Do you think he's going to land anywhere?
Yeah, absolutely. He's that guy at the top of the list everywhere. The Cardinals, I think that's why they cut Steve Wilks so quickly, because Mike McCarthy got let go, and they're thinking, hey, this guy has a Super Bowl on his resume. He did something right somewhere. And, you know, he coached one of the greatest of all time in Aaron Rodgers. So let's see if we can't bring some of that magic over here. All these teams are probably at least going to chat with Mike's agent to say, hey, what's this guy's deal? What's his situation? What does he think about our city or team? Can he come in here and replicate? Because half of these teams on this list, if they get half of the success that the Packers had, they'll be sitting pretty. That's how you get a Marvin Lewis 16-year deal where you don't have anything to show for it, okay?
That and pictures.
If they can get that in pictures and audio, you need that audio too. You got to, you know, pictures can be Photoshopped. Audio and video, that's forever right there. You know, so Mike McCarthy's high at the top of the list. One guy who's not high at the top of anyone's list, I don't think in the NFL, I don't think in the NCAA, I don't think in high school right now, is Hugh Jackson, who was released by the Browns after week 8 because he couldn't quite figure out if Baker Mayfield was going to be the guy that started for his team or not. Hugh Jackson, what the hell? What the hell are you talking about, Hugh Jackson? I know we talked about this, but you didn't know if Baker Mayfield was going to be your quarterback after he started slinging the rock around like he did? Yeah, the kid's a little punk, man, but it didn't matter. Now he's staring you down on a sideline while your Cincinnati Bengals tank and while the Browns are actually playing for a playoff spot. Doesn't matter that they didn't get it. The fact that they were playing inspired ball, they were playing more inspired ball after you left than when you were there. Jesus, you. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's it. So, hey, that's Barbershop Chop brought to us by the Great American Pub. Two great locations, east side, west side. Make sure you hit those things up, guys. So we're going to switch up. We're going to do something a little funny right now. And what we always like to do, we call that thing, Say What?
Say what? Say what?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more damn time.
All right. So we had a hell of a say what this morning. We really didn't talk about it much. America didn't talk about it much. And I don't know who really was, but Floyd Mayweather early this morning stopped Tenshin Nasukawa in round one of their exhibition fight in Tokyo, Japan. So he had a little sushi for breakfast and knocked out a guy for lunch.
Yeah,
I guess that's
yeah.
the best way
he
to explain
up,
it.
He shows up 2 hours late to the Superdome north of Tokyo right there. And if you paid for the tickets, if you're a Japanese fan, you were there and you paid for tickets, I'm sorry. If for some reason you stayed up and watched this, I'm sorry. I mean, when are people going to learn with Mayweather? When are they going to learn? I mean, his last one was a farce with Conor McGregor. It was a great American robbery, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't that he robbed Conor McGregor is that he robbed the American
sports
fan. Yeah, absolutely. And he did the same thing. Now he's doing it in Japan. And this thing was an absolute farce from the beginning. He was in. He was out. He was not part of it. He was absolutely a part of it. And in the end, he makes $10 million for beating the holy hell out of a 20-year-old kid who had no boxing experience whatsoever. He beat him. They made $10 million for less than 3 minutes of work, goes up there, drops the kid three times to the point where his own team throws in the towel. The kid is crying. Now, this kid is 20-0 as a kickboxer. He's 4-0 in MMA, and he had this kid cry while parading him around the ring, talking about, hey, it's an exhibition. You beat him. Like, he owed you the $10 million, and now you're still saying, oh, yeah, there's still a lot of interest here. There's like, oh, come on, man. This was a farce.
So here's my question to you, Jay. We look at these fights that have been set up, MMA guys versus boxing. Are you more surprised that the boxing side of it is allowing their craft to be marred by these MMA guys walking into the ring? Or are you more surprised that people always want to think that these MMA guys have a shot?
Yes, with the second point. And here I'm going to add a third point. I'm more surprised that mixed martial artists and these guys who fight in these combat sports that are outside of boxing are so poor and so desperate for money that they are making themselves look like idiots doing this stuff. You're talking about one of the greatest of all time. That's like if Tim Sylvia, who was a UFC heavyweight champion, got in the ring and boxed Muhammad Ali in his prime. Are you out of your mind? Are you that desperate for money? I mean, at that point, that's what it is. Conor McGregor made close to $100 million. Now, hey, get your money, fool, and all the other stuff, but you cannot erase that from your legacy. You look like an absolute idiot. You know, this kid right here, his poor team, he probably got guaranteed. There's no idea. I have no idea. I have no figures of what he got guaranteed. Maybe $1 million. So you made $1 million to get the absolute crap kicked out of you. Now forever, it doesn't matter if you go 100-0 as a kickboxer and 50-0 as a mixed martial artist. You are crying in the middle of the ring because Floyd Mayweather beat your ass. And your handlers allowed you to take that. If it's all about money for you, cool. Hey, Floyd could hit me in the face for $1 million, right? That's what everyone says. But at what point, if you're at the pinnacle of your sport, do you say, hey, I'm not going to do that unless we sign a 1-1. I come fight you in your yard. You come fight me in mine so that I can get some of this pride back. Because I can't have
put
you going out there
in your face
talking all this crap. Because if I catch you in the actual streets, I'm going to beat the brakes off of you. But here, forever, all time, really? Video and audio, you can't fake that stuff. You know, now they have you for all time. If they're watching this in the year 2500, they're going to see you crying with your bleached blonde hair. And you did it for $1 million. Well, good for you, I guess. But you look like a damn fool.
Intention, Nakasawa, when your girl says, you didn't say that to Floyd Mayweather, don't get mad, dog. Don't get mad. Don't get
don't
mad.
Don't let her
dog.
Catch those hands that you didn't throw at Floyd.
Yeah. All right. A little say what here. And we have, you know, that great team that's doing so much out here in the NFL. The Oakland Raiders have hired draft guru Mike Mayock as their new general manager, replacing the great, and I did say great, Reggie McKenzie. Say what? Okay. I think they're just drawing straws and doing the third eye blind thing, you know, smoking a little of the Chiba and just hoping and praying, because there's no way they can think that this Mayock is going to really be the guy that's going to replace them. And I'm just saying this. You know what? Maybe he will be, but everything that I've seen so far with this regime of John Gruden has just been – it's been abysmal, to say the very least. You know, his draft picks are number 4, 24, and 28.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, what's crazy is that, you live and die by that draft, and they don't have too many of their draft picks the last couple of years even on their team anymore. The Raiders just – it's a joke. Speaking of a $100 million robbery, speaking of fleecing someone – John Gruden has fleeced this Oakland Raiders team, man. This is a guy who spent years outside. You know, he was in the booth, but just talking about football, just like us, right? Okay, it's just me and you talking about football. That doesn't mean I'm going to make a great head coach. Yeah, he has a Super Bowl on his record, and there was a desperate team, Oakland Raiders, even though they weren't that fucking far off.
Right.
Know? They weren't that far off where, you know, they were so desperate. They were the Browns or something like that, where they needed to make that reach. But they, I guess with the Mark Davis's move to Las Vegas here in town, and I'm so glad they're coming, but I guess they felt they needed to do
splash.
That. They needed to mess with the Mona Lisa. It's like Da Vinci saying, no, let me add some eyebrows to this hoe, something like that. You know, he didn't need to do that, man. But, yeah, he did anyway, man. And it's just totally cracking this team. Mike Mayock, really? Oh, yeah, and John Gruden's thing is like, oh, well, he's a really passionate personnel guy. Really?
I'm passionate
about football. But I shouldn't be picking players in a draft, Mike. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this guy. And then he adds in a different statement, yeah, we'll see what happens. That's John Gruden's entire approach to this Oakland Raiders team so far. We'll see what happens. Hey, trade our best defensive guy. We'll see what happens. Hey, trade a lot of our offensive stars. Let's see what happens with it, you know. Hey, thank you for Armani Tuber. Thank you. You know, the Bears are saying, thank you for Khalil Mack.
Oh, my God.
But the Raiders, how are the Raiders going to look when they get to Vegas? But more importantly, how are they going to look 5 years from now? I don't think John Gruden's going to be the coach. I think they're going to be out $100 million. I think they're going to be at the bottom of the NFL standings.
But with them coming to Vegas, they will make all that money up.
Oh, they'll make all that money up.
They'll make all that money up.
There's friends that you and I have that are more than willing to dump down all that money it's going to take to watch the putrid Raiders team when they get here. They're more than willing to do that because they're going to make it up on the back end when they, you know, sell these Vegas Strong T-shirts with the Raiders logo on them.
Oh, yeah. All right. And finally, we have record-setting rookies, and which is always a great thing to talk about because it looks like the New York football Giants have found what they're looking for in a running back with Mr. Saquon Barkley. He passes Reggie Bush and finishes with 91 receptions. And then we also have Baker Mayfield. That's right, the crotch grabber himself, throws for 27 touchdowns, passing Russell Wilson and Peyton Manning as far as rookie records are concerned. So those are good things. You know, Baker seems like he is going to be the quarterback for the future for the Browns. Saquon, running back for the Giants. They're going to still need a quarterback, though.
Yeah, they're still going to need a long-term fix. Eli's the guy. He's headed on out, man. Saquon Barkley, what a pickup, though. And, you know, the real question for the Giants is going to be in a couple years, how do you pay this guy? Do you pay him as a top-line running back, which he's going to get X amount, or do you pay him as a top-line receiver, which is a totally different amount? You're talking tens of millions of dollars difference between the guys. Baker Mayfield, I've said it multiple times in this show alone, he's a punk. But I said at the beginning of the year, go back and look at our early episodes, I said the Browns were going to be the most intriguing team, and Baker Mayfield was going to be a star because he's got that X factor about him. And sure enough, he goes out there and lets – you know, we're not going to be able to see what happens with them until season two. But I think great things in the Browns. I think it's a great time to be a Browns fan.
That's it. You know what I think we need to do?
What's that?
This is our last show of the year.
Yeah.
And I think we need to have another show to kick off the year and talk about the NFL playoffs, doing it later on this week.
We should do that.
We should do that.
Let's do it.
Folks, you want that? I heard that.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. They screamed outside.
Yeah.
They're all outside the Great American Pub. Yep.
Oh, my
God. I see that.
Hey, guys, we want to thank you for a great 2018, everything that we've been doing from the third Thursday/third Tuesday mixers. Great. Appreciate your attendance. Of course, we're going to have our next one come January 15th, Eclipse Theater, 3rd Avenue, downtown Las Vegas.
Right.
Great guests. Bert Tamer, who's one of the catalysts behind bringing the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm calling Las Vegas Raiders to town. He's going to be there. He's going to be talking about ways that you can get your company not only involved with sponsorship, but also involved with the business side of things that your business may want to present to the Raiders. And then we have a Hall of Famer. We got Willie Gault, man. Willie could probably still outrun both of us.
Oh, yeah. He could go off of the Raiders today and catch 60.
He probably could.
He would.
Hey, if you're a Bears fan, you want to check out Willie, come on out here. If you're a Raiders fan, you want to check out Willie, definitely come on out. But more importantly, if you want to be a part of the sports marketing world in Las Vegas, come and holler at your boys. That's myself, Jeremy Long, and then Jeremy, where can they find us?
You can find us, man. Go fullmetalworldwide.com. All of our stuff on there, from the 3T sports and marketing mixer that we do every single month, to how we can help move your company forward with marketing and get you guys noticed out here in Vegas. Find us at fullmetalworldwide.com.
Well, man, happy New Year's to everybody. Jeremy, happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Man, and I'm going to see you next year, bro.
Oh, I'll see you next year.
Peace.